Today on Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we're talking about divine timing. Do you believe everything happens in the best possible timing? Have you ever wondered if you can handle what life has thrown at you? Are you constantly trying to force things to match your timeline instead of hanging back and letting it flow? Learn how to trust in divine timing as our month continues focusing on We Are One. Do you control your clutter, or does your clutter control you? On Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we'll teach you awareness as well as action steps to create change in your life. Come on, let's get started. Hey everyone, this is take two. I started this and it felt like sand in my mouth, like blah, blah, blah. I'm a little thrown off as we're having a house built next to us and I'm pretty close to losing my mind. And it hasn't started yet, so I'm getting episodes done because I don't know if I'll be able to record during the week and I have some guests scheduled. And it's a good practice in the oneness because I'm a little challenged right now. But on with today's episode. Today's episode was inspired by my husband. I got married later in life. I was 44. I met Tony at 43. We married 11 months from the day of our first date, and it happened pretty quickly. And people would always say, oh, you'll know when you know. And that used to drive me nuts. I'm like, what kind of answer is that? Until I met my husband, I couldn't understand that. And the divine timing part comes for me because he was the third guy that proposed to me. And if I had accepted the other proposals, I would be divorced, is my guess, or maybe have not done as much personal growth work as I've done and would be miserable, because I can see staying in a marriage unhappy. I mean, I think that that might have been a possibility. Who knows? I know that I had to grow and become the woman that I am to meet Tony, to match up to him, to know that I was good enough, worthy enough, and loved to have someone awesome as my life partner. So there was divine timing with that. You know, I wish it would have been on my timeline and my timetable about 10, 15 years earlier. I'm still in the process kind of understanding, I think, what my larger purpose is in this second half of my life. I have seen divine timing in other areas of my life, for instance, with the house we bought. So when we bought this house, we had mapped out, my mother was down and she was a retired realtor. And so we'd mapped out where we wanted to see. And I didn't realize this was the opening weekend, first opening house weekend. And so when we both walked in this third house we looked at, we both were like, yes, let's make an offer, on the same page immediately. And we found out later. And how it works in North Carolina is you put down a $1,000 non-refundable deposit. Although if the buyers would have backed, or sellers would have backed out, I don't know if you get that back, I would think, because it's not you. Anyway, that's how you say, okay, we want the house. And if you decide later you don't, they keep the grand or whatever you put down. So we decided, we put the deposit down, and we found people that were, after the fact, had put in a higher price than ours, because you wouldn't match it, right? You'd make it higher. So it was divine timing that we were here immediately. Someone else had put an offer in, but the realtor said it was a low ball offer. So anyway, it worked out. And it was a somewhat odd time. It was the first weekend in March, which in North Carolina, you know, it's definitely springtime there. But, you know, I know it really in April's here, it's where it's really the market gets going. So it was kind of an odd time. And just how we decided, we'd only decided in January, blah, blah. So that's another example how I felt divine timing was at work. We had to have all these things come together, have my mom visit, which, you know, she's busy. She's retired, but she's not sitting around. So to have all these things come for one weekend and to get an offer on the house. So anyway, those are just two examples in my life. I'm hoping there's divine timing with the books, because I feel like it was took forever and I just have to trust that. I believe they were divinely guided, and we'll see. Again, it's a little too early for me to tell on that. What is divine timing? You believe that life's events occur at the right moment and that you can handle what you're given. The good, really succinct way to put it. You believe that it's the right moment, and no matter what, you're going to be able to step up to the plate and handle it. Examine your life. Where in your life have you experienced divine timing? I bet if you take some time to reflect, you'll see all the places where divine timing has been most awesome and it wouldn't have worked out so well, or at another point in your life. And sometimes I'm going to share a story a little bit later on about how I was in a really not great space and divine timing stepped in. I don't think I could say it any other way. So once you've, and I encourage you to journal, write these down. You said, oh, this was really divine timing in my life. Take some time to contemplate and understand, why did things happen in that exact time? And the reason I'd like you to do this, or I'm suggesting you do this, is it so it can remind you to stay the course, can remind you to keep motivated, or allow you to trust. Hey, there have been times in my life I haven't trusted the process. And so kind of trusting the process and divine timing are hand in hand for me, because I couldn't see the why yet, right? Because I'm like, okay, why is this happening? I couldn't see it. And, you know, I always believe one of the things I try to do is expand my perspective. So I have this little, Julie brought you here on her little perspective, but like, how can I take the bigger perspective, or how can I step back from myself and see all the other possibilities or reasons why things are going on? We always can't see that. We always can't see it, one, because it's not the right time to see it, or we aren't able to step back, or something hasn't been revealed to us. But just look back and take some time to reflect of all the times that it, you're like, wow, what perfect timing was that? If this hadn't happened, then this wouldn't have happened, and I wouldn't be the person I am today, and all this greatness came from that. And again, that's to remind you that, you know what, it's okay, it's going to work out. It's all good. How to be open to divine timing. Like many things in life, easier said than done. But again, I want to remind you, you're doing the spiritual stuff. You're clearing your clutter. You're doing the work. If it was easy, everyone could do it, and we'd be doing it all the time. Remind yourself that your soul, spirit, knows what's best, not your ego. And what I mean by that is stop trying to control everything. Remember, think of it as a straw, right? And you're having your smoothie or your shake or my new favorite drink, an alcohol-free mojito. I discovered those traveling. Oh my gosh, my new favorite thing. I tried to make them. I didn't realize you had a little bit of simple syrup in it. So I was like, bleh. It was just lime and mint and club soda. Anyway, really refreshing drink. But think of that straw, right? So when you're having your smoothie, you're drinking, you're sucking up the straw, it's all good. But when you try to grab the straw and restrain it, that's what you're doing when you're coming from your ego. You're stopping that flow. You're putting that kibosh on the universe. The universe is like, hey, we're unfolding, it's all good. And then you go, argh! And that's when you're doing what you're doing when you control it. So again, this is an opportunity. If you're not trusting in divine timing, you're trying to control, dig a little deeper and ask yourself why. What and why are you trying to control? Are you coming from fear? Maybe you're worried you won't get something. But again, your soul or spirit knows what's best. What your little ego might say is, ah, this is what I need, I want. Might not be what your soul has in store for you. So what's really going on here? Let go of trying to control everything and expectations of results and outcome, right? Because that's where we become miserable, because we want this outcome. And then when it doesn't happen, we're upset. So here's my little story. So years ago, I was working in Los Angeles I was in this great little typical LA apartment, and I had had a job working for the a doctor at County LA. Loved him. He was a great guy. I had a great group of doctors I worked for. I was like, you know what? I need something better. I need to move on from here. So I got a job at RAND, which is a think tank. And I got a job as an assistant to this. I think she was technically a researcher. She was great. I mean, really smart woman, but she micromanaged me. And first of all, I had a commute from, literally I could walk to Man's Chinese Theater. It was on North Orange Drive. Anyway, so I had a horrible commute because RAND was in Santa Monica and, you know, I hate driving. And RAND was a great company, had great benefits. And I remember I was just miserable. I mean, like, she would be exacting. And I shared an office with another assistant who had a little better skills than I did. And I know I was driving her nuts. We weren't a good fit for each other. And I remember crying in the bathtub, talking to God, universe, and saying, and just crying, like, I don't know what to do next. I'm lost. I'm afraid, I'm scared, I don't do, crying. Literally the next day, I'm not kidding, I get a phone call, and I had interviewed, when I was looking for different jobs, I had interviewed at a nonprofit, and I'd interviewed for the writer's assistant. And so she had said, you're just way too overqualified for this job. So it's okay, you know, trust and purpose, blah, blah, blah. So she called me back, and so this was a nonprofit that helped abuse kids, and the grant writer was watching videos that weren't appropriate for work, which is just insane considering what the nonprofit did. So he was immediately fired, and they had an opening for a grant writer. Now, I had never done any grant writing. Now, I have been a writer all my life. I have a really strong writing set skill. And she saw that, and she was like, you can learn it. You're a smart person. I'll send you to a thing. So I got, and in the meantime, I'd written out everything I desired in a job. And I get everything but the free gym membership. You know what, you guys got to stretch and hope. But in that moment, when I completely let go of control, there was divine timing in that, because I thought, I'm probably on the way to getting fired. Although I think RAND, seems like was a really good corporation the short time I was there. They'd probably try to work with me or find me another position. But when I let control, the universe could come in and have divine timing. I mean, what is the reality that I interview, told him overqualified, and this guy immediately gets fired almost within starting his job? So that's about trust, and that's about divine timing. You have all the answers you need within. Got Clutter, 365 journal prompts books, supports you in figuring out how to clear your clutter. Get control of your clutter so your clutter doesn't control you. Reclaim time, money, sanity, and resources. Choose from physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, holidays, or compilation volumes 1, 2, and 3. Free MP3 meditation with purchase. Learn more at reawakenyourbrilliance.com or purchase on Amazon. So one of the ways you can be open to divine timing is to face your fears. Don't let fear dictate how you lead your life or operate your business. Face the things that scare you head on. I used to be deathly afraid of speaking. I am not exaggerating. When you do a lot of networking, you are given 30 seconds usually to do a commercial, sometimes less, sometimes more. The first time I got up and said, my name's Julie Seibert. My business is healing through organization, because that was my maiden name and what my business was at the time. Seriously, could not say anything after that. And this group of women were so encouraging, and I'm eternally grateful for them, so encouraging, and talked me through it. So I got better at doing the commercial. And then someone else in the group said, I want you to come speak to my women's group. It's going to be at my home. It was really funny, a church group. And they're like, you have to eat before you speak. You know, just so welcoming and warming. But that gave me the confidence to go to my friend Susan, who had a thing, and I said, can I do a talk at your store? And she's like, absolutely. So I face my fear of public speaking, and I get paid to speak. And every time I get a check from speaking in public, I chuckle. And I'm so proud of myself because I was so afraid to do that. People who are afraid to fail never move forward or grow. The more you push yourself, the more you'll realize what you're capable of. And I mentioned that earlier. You do not give yourself enough credit for your abilities and what you're capable of doing. So believe in yourself and push through your fears. You got this. You can do it. I know you can. I am cheering you on. Listen to your intuition. You have all the answers within. Now, the challenge comes in with our ego, right? And sometimes our intuition is loud and clear. I have had times where it's literally felt like someone was yelling at me, hearing this, which in the irony, because I wear hearing aids, and one of the ways I receive my intuition is through hearing. But sometimes it's a whisper. Are you paying attention? Your intuition is there to guide you. When I have listened to my intuition, it has never led me astray. When I was selling my condo in Los Angeles, I got really frustrated and my friend was selling it and we'd gotten feedback. He's like, you need to replace the carpet. I'm like, ugh. So anyway, take out the carpet. The people that bought my house, no fuss, no muss. It's the highest a condo in the building has ever sold. And I've been out of LA now for, sold the condo 13 years, 14 years this fall. Still the highest sold. It ended up divine timing. The market hadn't crashed. And I was able to sock away some money that allowed me to start my business. Would have never happened had I not listened to my intuition and intuition saying, get the carpet. Don't be penny wise and pound foolish. Have faith. Understand what you can control, right? Which is your actions, your words, your thoughts, and let the rest go. Have some type of practice on faith. And I just want to throw in a side note here. I consider myself spiritual. I believe in prayer. But I've seen people who are spiritual. And this is one example, guys. I'm not calling out. I'm not saying this is to say all people. This is just one example I want to share because I think it's important. Who get angry if someone's religious and say they're praying for them. Why? That's their way of connecting with you. That's their way of showing they care. And prayer is their way of lifting someone else up. So focus on that instead of the method used to get there. So have some type of faith practice and keep doing what gives you strength and hope, right? Because if you have faith, believe in a higher purpose, higher being, however that shakes out for you. When you have faith and it allows you to say, okay, I'm going to trust in divine timing. I might be scared. I might be frustrated. I might be angry, but I'm going to keep the faith. Kick your doubt to the curb, right? Because that's what keeps coming up when you don't trust or you have doubts. And you say, well, no way on divine timing. I have all these doubts. Make a list of doubts and then contradict them. I found this to be a really helpful, supportive exercise. I doubt people like my books on Amazon. Contradict. You have a very popular podcast, so obviously someone likes you. You're a good writer and get paid to write. You'll take your time to edit, so you won't be criticized for that. That's just one example. I'm 50. I doubt I'm ever going to meet someone and fall in love. I'm 50. I'll doubt I'll ever meet anyone and fall in love. Contradict. I've had successful relationships in the past. I've seen many people 50 and older who've gotten married. I believe that true love is still out there for me. In addition to my romantic relationships, I've also had successful friendships, and I have great relationships with my family. I am good enough, worthy enough to be loved. Practice being positive on a daily basis. Bring in that gratitude. If you're in gratitude, you're not having doubt. And again, when that gratitude and that it's all this kind of symbiotic relationship that's going to increase your trust and faith. And remember, you're not alone. I have doubts. I have fears. I'm negative. Why share my experiences with you? I don't want you to feel alone. And that's one of the things I hope you get most from this podcast, that you know you're not alone. So remember that everyone, and even the most confident, if you look on TV and say, wow, that person's so successful and confident, I wish I could be like that, you can. And that doesn't mean that that person still doesn't have doubts and fears. So how can you bring in being positive on a daily basis? Perhaps you say affirmations. Perhaps you look in the mirror and tell yourself that you say, I love you. You're awesome. You're amazing. You check in with people who love you when you need that little extra push. How are you going to bring that into your everyday life? Embrace unexpected outcomes. No one ever thought I'd move to Los Angeles. Talk about the place least likely for Julie to move. That would be it. I was in Vermont. I wore Birkenstocks. I like to wear overalls. People were like, Seattle, Portland, we can see that. But Los Angeles? Moving to North Carolina wasn't on the list of to-do. I think maybe just north. I always say that I can't go south of the Mason-Dixon line, but we moved a little south now. Huh, I'll have to check that out and see if I'm now south of the Mason-Dixon line. Places I said I'd never live in my life when I was younger, the South. Where am I? The South. And when I look back, I can all the great things. I have a core group of friends from Los Angeles still, internally grateful for them. I met Tony moving to North Carolina. I discovered cats. I published my books living in North Carolina. That probably would have never have happened in Los Angeles because I was so busy trying to be a screenwriter. So embrace all the awesomeness in life and things that you didn't plan for that ended up being pretty groovy. Find a mindfulness practice. That's going to connect you to your sovereign self, your higher essence. Also, it helps you deal with the curveballs of life. It gets you out of your ego. You can see, you can find the goodness in everything. You can have gratitude. It keeps you centered. It keeps you grounded. It keeps you connected to that higher perspective. And the more you do that, the more it allows you to relax. I want you to just do something here for a moment. If you're sitting there, or you're standing, even if you can drive and do this, how is your tummy out, or are you holding on to something and you kind of feel like your tummy clenching? Until I started to do some work, I'm like, OMG, I completely clenched my tummy. I have to be a wary Buddha belly. Like, even if you're skinny, you have a little belly there. Like, you want that completely out. And I think as women especially, we're taught, hold in your stomach. Are you clenching, holding on? When you're relaxed, again, that's another way. You're being more open. Your body's relaxed. Your physicality is relaxed. We need to check in. Are you holding back? Are you getting that Buddha belly and completely relaxed and in your body and not clenching? So discover or create some sort of mindfulness practice. Have one now and it's feeling kind of stale, switch it up. Lots of things that you can do. You can find mindfulness, putting on your makeup in the morning. Doesn't need to be this great big thing. Surrender. You know, we get this specific outcome that we want in mind, right? Great expectations. I did a podcast on that. We think we know what's best for us, but sometimes we don't. And again, that can come with hindsight. We just don't always have that bigger perspective, or if we're in more pain, we can't see it. I was on and off with someone for a really long time. I thought we'd get married, and that didn't happen. And I remember being really sad, and I didn't meet Tony right after that things were finally over. And I remember being very sad and again crying and having this 20 minutes just kind of howling and crying and be upset. And I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm over him. And in hindsight, if I hadn't had this relationship, I wouldn't have been open to Tony. Because I think when I was younger, I had this idea of what my partner should look like, what my husband should look like. And it wasn't, maybe at the time it was truly coming from me. I don't know if it was coming from family or society or if they had an influence, but it's not what my soul needed, not what my essence needed. And so if I hadn't had this relationship, I might not have been open to Tony and might have missed the boat on that one. So I'm completely grateful for that. But where do you need to surrender, right? You want it to look, this is how you have it in your mind, and it might not show up that way. So again, suffering comes when we have these expectations and they're not met. Be aware of your energy. Fighting and not surrendering and not trusting and not having faith and not wanting to be open to divine timing takes all this effort and energy. And it's much easier when you let go. I've talked about this a lot. I was so afraid to heal in some areas. And as I started to go through the fire, I was like, wow, this is a lot easier than holding back and holding in, like the clenching of the stomach and holding it. I'm afraid. And what's going to happen? Oh, no, no, what do I do? And the amount and the time, effort, energy, I couldn't get over it. And so when I finally did that and accepted, okay, I'm afraid, I'm gonna do this anyway, the energy that it released was incredible. So be aware of your energy and how much time and effort you're doing things and what can you let go of that way. Take actions from today's podcast. Acknowledge where you've had divine timing in your life. Stop trying to control everything. Listen to your inner guidance. Keep the faith. Welcome unexpected outcomes. Practice a mindfulness technique. Surrender to the beauty of life and the great cosmos of timing. On our next episode, we're talking about everybody wants to rule the world. Go out, clear your clutter to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire. When you clear your clutter, you can share your gifts with the world. Sign up for our free newsletter at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. If you've enjoyed Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, please rate, review, and share us.